Dr. Roy McLean is in the house, and these officers who've been elected, they will come here quickly, please. And I will hand this gavel to him. You remain standing. Is Dr. McLean here? Congressman Hayes, if you'll come here, please. Is he there? I want the president of our convention of last year to close the meeting in prayer. Friend, I hope you won't ruin this closing meeting by going out now. And stay where you are and bow your head. As Brooks Hayes, one of God's choice servants, will lead us now in the closing prayer.
Our Father, we are grateful for the assurances in thy word that thou wilt be in our midst in an hour like this. We so deeply cherish the privilege of communion with thee in big assemblies as well as in our personal devotions. We thank thee for that. We've heard our beloved friend Billy Graham, thy eloquent servant, preach, and our hearts have been stirred. As a result of it, we believe we see more clearly now the meaning of thy love for a stricken and confused world, the awfulness of sin, and what rededication to thy eternal purposes in the world may mean. Sometimes, our Father, we come as children with wounds to be healed, or as offenders with sins to be forgiven, or maybe as suppliants with favors to be granted. But as we view our world's need now and examine our own hearts, we believe that most of all we're asking for strength to know thy will and to do thy bidding. So help us, our Father, to carry with us the inspiration of this message. We do thank thee that the compassion of this preacher has linked us to people around the world. And may we carry some of that in our own hearts. And may this feeling that he has for the human family find lodgment in our own breasts. And may the love of Christ possess us. This we ask because we want, too, to engage in that great enterprise. And so, our Father, for the joy of serving thee, even in the midst of surroundings like the grim ones he has pictured, and for the radiating love which fills this room, and for the brightened hopes for tomorrow, we thank thee. So send us out in this spirit to serve thee more faithfully than we have ever done before, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Isn't this a wonderful setting for the beginning of our convention, this beautiful music by the Stetson University Chorus? I want to present to you our accompanist for the convention, our organist, Mr. Kurt Kaiser, over here approaching the organ console at this time, and the pianist for the convention over at the piano, Charles Magnuson. We're going to sing number 3 as our first hymn, number 3. Let us stand to sing.
To God.
Be seated. Turn to number 13. Number 13.
His love.
Number 45. We're going to sing just one stanza of this song. And while you're turning to this number, let me say a word about these songbooks. Our songbooks have been presented for the convention by our Baptist Sunday School Board. A wonderful book it is, and we are giving it to you. It is a souvenir edition for you. We ask this one favor, that you bring it back to the convention with you every time you come. Every session, bring the songbook with you. We don't have enough to give you a book at every session. We'll run out tomorrow night if you don't bring the books back with you. So, as you come, bring your songbook. Put it in your purse or put it in your pocket and bring the songbook back to the convention with you for every session. Now, don't forget that, because I want you to help me with this song service every night. You've done so well tonight. Now, we're singing one verse of number 45, and I believe it would be good for us to stand, if you will, please.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
You be seated. The 103rd session of the Southern Baptist Convention will come to order. The gentleman who has led you in this very fine song service, Mr. Elmer F. Bailey, and certainly it's a joy to hear you sing tonight. And now we're ready for our scripture to be read by Brother Robert L. Deenan of South Carolina, and then our prayer will be led by John Robert Stiff of West Virginia.
We're reading tonight from the 24th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, beginning in the 44th verse and reading through to the conclusion of the chapter. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, in order that they might understand the scripture. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen.
Shall we pray? Father God, in this critical hour, teach us to pray. Lord, increase our faith. Wrap thy arms about us that we shall have strength. Touch our minds that our thoughts might be greater than our own. We pray thy richest blessings to rest upon this first period of the 103rd session of the Southern Baptist Convention, which is so dear to our hearts. Bless the President, Ramsey Pollard. Bless all who are associated with him. May this first session be of the highest order. We pray for our great convention. Bless its agencies, its boards, its commissions, its committees, its churches, its program, its people. God, speak to Southern Baptists during these days. Help us, we pray thee, to confess our sins unto thee. Help us, we pray thee, to be revived again. O Lord, wilt thou not revive Southern Baptist? Bless, we pray thee, our lives as we live in this fair city. May others see Jesus living in us. And may we catch something of the two programs that have preceded this, the pastor's conference, the meeting of the WMU. And may we go back to our churches with a greater determination to live for Jesus Christ than ever before. May we present to the world the message of truth as contained in the gospel, that we're not saved by corruptible things such as silver and gold, but only by the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without spot or without blemish. Lord, may thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, that name which is above every name, we pray. Amen.
Certainly one of the most beloved men in all of our convention is Dr. C. Roy Angel, for many years pastor of the Central Baptist Church of this city. And representing Miami and all of the great state of Florida, he comes now to speak a word of greeting, and the response will be made by Dr. C. E. Herford, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Corpus Christi from the great state of Texas. Dr. Angel will come, and then Dr. Herford will come.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I think I have at once the nicest assignment on all this program and the most useless one. Useless because any city in this United States of America would be happy, gloriously happy to have you as their guests for this great convention. Happy because you do us good. The years we have had you before, consistently you have lifted the level of life, Christian life, for us in this city. You have made it easier for every Baptist preacher and for the things that are good to be accomplished and to be brought about just because you came. You have been a blessing to us, an inspiration to us, and a joy to us. Now, I'm sure you've heard all of those words before at some other place, but here's something you never have heard in a welcome address before. This building, built by Miami Beach, has in it a very definite part of the Southern Baptist Convention. Dr. Merritt, sitting over here, came down to look over this city to see if we had an auditorium and enough rooms and so forth for the convention. There wasn't a stone laid, there wasn't a piece of superstructure for this convention hall in existence. They've been working at it for 2 or 3 years, and Jim and I sat down on the hotel porch, talked a while. I got up and called the mayor, Mayor Lee Powell, one of the grandest Christian men that I know, mayor of Miami Beach, sits there and worships the Lord in our church Sunday after Sunday. He said, I think all the hurdles are out of the way. Would Mr. Merritt give me 1 week and I'll give him the answer? I said, yes, sir. We'd be glad to give you 1 week. Less than a week later, he called me from New York City. He said, call Mr. Merritt at my expense and tell him we will have that convention hall ready for the Baptists in 1960 if we have to work nights to get it done. Well, he finished in 1959, and he asked me then, he said, 20,000 people be enough, 20,000 seats for that many people? I said, it'll be just grand, just grand. So we welcome you joyously and with a lot of happiness. But this thing now, we come into our convention. We have business to attend to. We have our mission reports and our commission reports to hear. Let's listen to them. But let's remember two things. We come to reaffirm our faith in God. We come to reaffirm our belief in prayer. We come to sit together and build each other's Christian life a little finer because of the fellowship. And above all, we come because we do know that God needs a great group of stewards, and we would like to be the best group of stewards. The eyes of all the religious people in this continent are on Miami Beach and on this convention. The things we approve or the things we disapprove will have a mighty lot of weight and a mighty force behind them. Other denominations, and let me pause to welcome them, for a number of calls have come in the last 2 or 3 days to say, can we come? Do we have to have a special permit to come? God bless you. We are happy that you're here tonight. And in behalf of the 45,000 of us Baptists here that belong to the churches and another 25,000 that don't belong to the churches in Miami, I want to welcome all of you gladly and joyously and tell you we're dedicated to do our very best to make you comfortable, to make you have the best time and the best convention that you've ever enjoyed. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Angel. Thank you. And now Dr. Herford of Texas will make the response.
President Pollard and fellow Southern Baptists, if I And as I do now have the opportunity of speaking on your behalf, I would like to say to Dr. Angel and all the Baptists of this area, and he included the whole state of Florida, I think we recognize and remember that at times people have entertained angels unaware. But we are fully aware of the fact that we have been welcomed to Miami by the angel of the Baptist churches of Miami. I think this thing will never happen again, that you'll have an angel welcome you and a Hereford who will respond. That has not happened before, and I will probably see to it that it doesn't happen again. These good friends here have made every possible provision for our comfort, our convenience, and for our work. And we're already recognizing the fact that they meant it when they said, "You're welcome. Come with us in 1960. But may I say to you out of my own heart, and I have been feeling this for some few weeks, we're not here as tourists, though I'm sure all of us will see the sights. But we are here primarily as messengers from our churches on business for our King. We're not here just to renew old friendships, and we shall surely do that. For what would a convention be without the presence of your friends? But I believe we have come with the conviction that we are here to review the work which we've done together this past year in the work of the Lord. And certainly we're not here that we might enjoy the sun and the sand and the surf and the wonderful hospitality which is so present in Miami. We shall enjoy all of that, and we could say to the millions of Southern Baptists who do not have the privilege we have, we wish you were here. But I think we'll have to say that we are here that we might engage in discussions and decisions which will set forward the kingdom of God in our day. I would like to see, my dear friends, this happen to us in this session and these sessions of our convention. I could wish that this commodious and comfortable auditorium would suddenly be transformed into a sanctuary, like the sanctuary where Solomon stood in dedication. And as it dedicated, it prayed to Jehovah our God and prayed that His name might be known to all people on the earth. I believe that the burden of our hearts and the burden of our prayers in these days will be the same prayer. That the billion people in our world who have not heard the name of Jesus Christ might hear it. I think also I would love to see this auditorium transformed into an upper room. In an upper room in the long ago came Jesus Christ to reveal himself in a very special way to his followers. And there in that upper room came also, after their period of waiting, the Holy Spirit filling their hearts, lighting up on them like tongues of fire to send them out to preach the gospel, the full gospel, for the first time. I could hope, oh, there are those who say that nothing like that can ever happen in a convention. I pray, God, it may happen in this convention. I could also wish that this seaside auditorium may suddenly be transformed into a mountaintop where the Lord himself was gathered about by his disciples. And there he told them their first obligation was to wait until they received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And then their next obligation was to witness to him in Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth. And may we, our friend, my friends, and all of us together, reaffirm and renew our allegiance, as Dr. Angel suggested, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we once again hear the Master give us his orders. And may we go out to obey them, to witness, to preach, to teach, until all the people on this earth have heard. We're living in tremendously important days. And I pray that as we go back to our homes, we will go out and back with the same experience that the original group of early Christians had when they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord working with them. If that can happen, we will long remember the time we spent in the convention in Miami, Florida.
One of the most important spots in all of our Southern Baptist life is the Committee on Order of Business. I had the privilege of meeting with this very fine committee, and I heard them as they discussed the possibilities of this great convention. So Dr. Bruce H. Price, who is chairman of the Committee on Order of Business and who also is serving as second vice president of the Southern Baptist Convention, will come and make the report of the committee at this time. Pardon me, before he comes, Dr. Joe W. Burton will give the report on registration, the organization, the convention.
Brother President and friends, the secretaries were at the appointed place to enroll messengers beginning this morning, and at time of convening, we had enrolled 9,700 messengers. I make a motion that these now constitute the 103rd session of the Southern Baptist Convention, and that other messengers duly appointed by cooperating churches who have not yet registered be seated when they have presented their credentials at registration desk.
Thank you, Dr. Burton. You've heard the motion. Is there a second? All who favor the motion, please say aye. In the opposition, you may speak. And the motion is carried. And now, Dr. Bruce Price.
Thank you, Brother President, friends of the convention. The Committee on Order of Business has prepared a tentative program for your consideration. It has been published in the program that you received at the door. It has also been published in the Book of Reports, and it has been published in the Bulletin of the Convention. Brother Chairman, I make a motion that this tentative program become the official program of the Convention with necessary adjustments that may come to our attention from time to time.
Thank you. You have heard this motion. Do I hear a second? All who favor the motion, will you please say aye. In the opposition, you may speak. And it is carried. I wish to appoint the following committees at this time. The Committee on Resolutions, Dr. J.D. Gray, Chairman, Gerald Coggins, John Jeter Hurt, Jr., Homer G. Lindsay, Wayne Dehoney, W.R. Pettigrew, Mrs. Gordon Madry, Perry F. Webb, Sr., Edmund Walker, and Frank Brazenton, the District of Columbia. The Committee on Committees, and Dr. E.C. Brown of South Carolina will serve as the chairman of this committee. A.B. Van Arsdale of Alabama, Ed Packwood of Arizona, Kendall Berry of Arkansas, S.G. Posey of California, John Furman, the District of Columbia, Vaughn Johnson of Florida, Howard Giddings of Georgia, Charles R. Walker, Illinois, Rang Morgan, Kansas, Frank Norfleet, Kentucky, Earl T. Ogg, Louisiana, Ralph F. Swanson, Maryland, Owen Cooper of Mississippi, James Shirley of Missouri, W.D. Wyatt of New Mexico, W.D. Morris of North Carolina, and Murray Fuquay of Oklahoma, and then Dr. E.C. Brown of South Carolina, who will serve as chairman, Raymond Rogers of Tennessee, R.A. Springer of Texas, J.B. Flowers of Virginia. And I'll ask Dr. James Merritt to announce who the tellers will be.
John C. Mitchell, Virginia.
I do not believe the microphone's on where you are, sir. Will you please come here?
Brother President, the President has authorized the announcement of the following committee on tellers. John C. Mitchell, Virginia, Chairman. Fred Noel, Texas. James Sawyer, Florida. John France, Missouri. Jack Lowndes, Georgia. Nane Starnes, North Carolina. George Caldwell, Alabama. Louis C. Lowe, Illinois.
Thank you, sir. No action is necessary on these committees. And then there comes to the platform just now Dr. Marshall Craig of Texas. For many years, pastor of the Gaston Avenue Baptist Church, in recent years, an evangelist, serving many churches in many places. And I do not know of any man in all of this wide world who exemplifies the Spirit of Christ more beautifully than does Marshall Craig. And he will come now and lead us in the memorial service. Dr. Craig. A unique service has been planned for this occasion, and you'll be patient with us for just a moment. Mr. Bailey, where are you? Mr. Bailey, just stand here and lead us in the song, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds Our Hearts in Christian Love. And while they're making preparation for a very unique service, your heart will be blessed by the singing of this song.
Let us stand.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred mine is like to that above.
Thank you. Be seated.
And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful.
Beautiful to be with God when earth is fading like a dream, and from this mist-encircled shore we launch upon the unknown stream. No doubt, no fear, no anxious care, but comforted by staff and rod, in the faith-brightened hour of death, how beautiful to be with God. With that note of triumph ringing in our hearts, we pause in the opening moments of this convention to pay a loving and grateful tribute to the memory of our fellow workers who have finished life's labors and entered into the city of our God. They were faithful stewards, serving our Lord in various capacities at home and around the world, in the furtherance of the gospel. The influence of their noble lives will deepen and widen as the years come and go. Therefore, we say of each one of these devoted followers of our Lord, servant of God, well done. Thy glorious warfare's past, the battle fought, the race is won, and thou art crowned at last. They have gone to be forever with the Lord in that house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We would offer our tender and profound sympathy to the loved ones of these and the churches in which they serve. Heaven seems nearer and dearer as we think of those we have loved long since and lost a while. But we sorrow not, even as others which have no hope, for our hope is in the victorious Christ who conquered every enemy, even the last great enemy, death itself. We would honor the memory of our fellow laborers by dedicating ourselves afresh in this chaotic, stressful, and tremendous hour to the worldwide task of winning the lost to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name and for whose glory they valiantly gave themselves. May we renew our efforts by being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Then, when our day is done, and we join the innumerable throng of the redeemed in the New Jerusalem, that beautiful, holy city, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. What must it be to step on shore and find it heaven? to take hold of a hand and find it God's hand, to breathe a new air and find it celestial air, to feel invigorated and find it immortality, to rise from care and turmoil of earth into one unbroken calm, to wake up and find it glory. For eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. And in memory of these soldiers of the cross, may we stand for the prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, in the solemnity of these moments, as we think back through the days that are gone, of the many familiar faces, those unbroken friendships, those individuals whose lives have so richly blessed our own, we come in all humility of heart, thanking thee for their lives. They served in various places in our denominational life as pastors, missionaries, evangelists, young people, older people, noble men and women, denominational workers. So many have fallen from the ranks of earthly labors and gone to be with our Lord. We do thank thee for them and for the service that they rendered, for what they meant to the cause of Christ, to our beloved denomination. And our Father, as we think of John's vision, the realities of the matchless glory of this celestial city, the New Jerusalem, we thank thee tonight that thou hast gone to prepare a place so beautiful, so lovely, so wonderful for all who love and serve thee. May thy blessings be with us now in this convention, as we dedicate ourselves afresh in the ongoing of thy kingdom, that we may bear our responsibilities, and may we in God's good time be privileged to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," as we enter into the city foursquare. In Jesus' precious name, we ask it. Amen.
You turn to number nine.
Oh,
stanza, and following the singing of the last stanza, special music will be brought by the choir, the church choir of the Bellevue Baptist Church, Memphis, Tennessee, our convention president's church. Mr. Tommy Lane is the director, minister of music at that church. He is also assisting me with the music here in this convention. The last stanza now.
Why the Lord?